Have you ever licked your elbow? So began a deeply meaningful conversation with my 10-year-old last week. He went on. I have, he said. It was my dare in that game, Truth or Dare, at school today. Oh, I said, my mind going in several different directions, everything from a little nervousness that his peer group plays that game to all kinds of trouble that it might lead to down the road to wondering if, in fact, it's even possible to lick one's elbow. Mostly, I have to say I was relieved. Relieved that it was a natural thing for him to share at the supper table. Relieved that the dare didn't seem all that risky and seemed to indicate the kind of tone the cafeteria table game seemed to follow at his age. It can be a dangerous game, I know, and you know, but I guess that it actually just put games on the brain for me this week as I looked toward today and got me thinking about the kind of games that the church plays. We do, of course. And some are pretty innocuous and actually quite well-intentioned. It's a bit of a game to have to work on having the latest website so that people will connect with what you're doing. It's a bit of a game to figure out how to communicate who you are to the kinds of people who long for a place like this. A lot of things can feel a little like a game when you're trying to figure out what it is that you need to offer, that people want and need. And when your best intentions are behind it, that effort helps you to keep asking what it is that will nourish a life of faith and action in people of all ages. There are, of course, also games all around us that the church is playing these days that we want no part of. It doesn't take going much past the homepage of any news site these days to see the kind of games going on where Christians are aligning themselves with power over against, the kind that mind-bogglingly seemingly ignores certain violations of morality so that they can support political figures who will work for their view on things. Now, we're not here to beat up on the kind of church we don't want to be, but it's important to acknowledge, especially as the movement that white evangelical Christians seem most behind is the very one that seems to be offering space for self-possessed white supremacists to step more into the mainstream spotlight. There is going to be plenty of necessity to continue to resist these kinds of games. That's not our direct task today, though. Because even as we know that it is part of our work, back here among us, there are also those games we play among ourselves in the meantime. That's probably a good thing to acknowledge, even to confess on a day like today. As we're working through our own work and calls, there are those nagging questions that creep in constantly. Will we ever be as a church as successful, as big, as daring, as edgy, as fill in the blank? There's always someone you can compare yourself into in church life, your other experiences of church, what you've heard that so-and-so church that you kind of like is doing down the street, even your own history. And let's be honest, it is ridiculous for churches to have a lone ranger, we'll do it our way on our own mentality. We absolutely need each other to help pool resources, to get new ideas, to share the load. But don't fall into the trap of thinking that somehow you don't get to decide for yourselves what things need to look like for you here, for the corner of 8th and H in 2017 and beyond. For what the new ways are that you need to measure success that leave some of the old measuring sticks in the past. The truth is, you are, Calvary is, right now, a light, a gift to the church and the world, right as you are, because you ask hard questions. Because you don't take the smooth path of least resistance, because you're doing the challenging work of showing up, of forging community that incorporates the hard challenges of language and culture's distinctives. You're doing the hard work of just being human beings in community together. And you're a light because you had the wisdom to call these amazing pastors to walk beside you and ahead of you and behind you and around you. And you, Calvary, are who many of us will be watching, not to set the course for us, but to see the wondrous things that you'll do as you, which will make us more be brave to be us. So I want to propose a new game for us all to take part in. One in the midst of all the other games we're tempted and forced to play at times. A game that might ground us in the Holy Spirit. It's all got me thinking about this game I think we should all play going forward, which I think we should call Truth and Dare. You all, as the church, all of us really, need to play Truth and Dare. Because both seem of the Spirit, and it's wild, windy, dovey, goosey ways. And because both seem in short supply these days. First, let's talk truth. Truth needs a little pastoral care these days. It's taking quite a beating on the national stage. Do you remember maybe 10 years ago, Stephen Colbert's word for the year was truthiness? Doesn't that seem so mild now? Who would have thought that our days would be seen to so revolve around needing to wonder what our political leaders say these days is even verifiably true? Who would have thought how frequent it would be that those we need to trust to have the best interests of all of us would use words at whole new levels to deceive, even as they promise truth? So in the midst of that, you need to continue to speak truth. You need to continue to call out truth that is grounded in God's deep and abiding love, in God's care for the outcast and oppressed, in God's love for those who are invisible to others, in God's love for the planet. You know the words. You speak this language. I know you do, because there's actually been a lot of good truth spoken here already today. I hope you've really heard and taken in all the beauty of truth, of the many words we've read and sung and heard together today. Words like vision and blessing, courage, expectant, release, emboldened, impassioned, recovery, let go free, proclaim, dream, diligent, joyful, intimate, vast, transformed. These are beautiful words. They are empowering words. They are dangerous words. Write them on your heart then, and then add surprise and innovation and creativity and imagination and risk. Risk is vital to your work in the coming days and weeks and months and years. And it's actually one of the best things to connect truth and dare. Because it's one thing to risk telling the truth, naming and claiming God's truth. It's one thing to dare to do new things, to take all of those challenges you're already at work on in the world and dare to step into them more deeply. It's another way to do it in a way I think the world desperately needs right now. A way that acknowledges the vulnerability that it takes to do both of those things. It acknowledges the courage that it takes, that it acknowledges the failure it will bring. That's an inspiring word, isn't it? It really needs to be. We so often hear the adage, failure is not an option. The truth is, failure is not optional. It's going to happen to all of us. It's going to happen in small and big ways. It's going to happen in our communities when we misstep and hurt each other's feelings. It's going to happen when the one thing you really want the church to do, the church decides not to do. It's going to happen when you think you were the forgotten one on purpose somehow, by one of your ministers, by one of your friends. It's going to happen. And then there's the communal idea. Do you know that story of Engineers Without Borders? It is, as you can imagine, a nonprofit. And as you know, there's a culture around nonprofits and churches, of course, where you're supposed to gloss over failures because, you know, you need volunteers for things. And you need money. You need people to give you money. And failure doesn't exactly always inspire confidence for those things. The problem is refusing to admit the possibility, the reality that some things are going to fail, well, fails to allow the kind of environment where risk-taking, creativity, and continuous adaptation required for innovation and truth-telling can exist. But back to Engineers Without Borders, to help counteract that, a development worker in Ghana working with them led them to begin publishing failure reports. In order to open people up to risk that might result in failure, they published one of those super fancy, glossy, bound notebooks, kind of like an annual report. Only it was a report of their failures, 14 of them that different people had submitted from the year before. At a conference on failure, no less, this development worker, Ashley Good, first asked the audience what terms they would associate with failure. Sadness, fear, making a fool of myself, desperation, panic, shame, heartbreak. Then she held up that glossy report and began to hand it out of how Engineers Without Borders had published 14 times that they had failed in the past year and what they had learned from it. And then she asked the audience what words they would use to describe the report and the people who submitted their stories. This time it was helping, generous, open, knowledgeable, brave, courageous. Her point was that to pretend we can get to helping, generous, brave, courageous, without wading through desperation and shame and panic is just fooling ourselves. And that the way forward is realizing the beauty in truth and tenacity. Can you imagine if a person came in here that was new and you handed them a glossy brochure of all the things you've got going on that are bringing about the kingdom of God? And then you said, you should also read this. It's a couple of stories about how we failed and what we learned in the process. They'd know something about you, wouldn't they? That's the kind of thing I think comes out of truth and daring. And a few more dares I have for you in the midst of it all. Dare to take care of each other. It's so easy when there is so much work to do in the world that we think we don't have time for anything but the kind of work that looks outward. Dare in the midst of that to tend to your souls and one another's souls and take care of each other. Dare to be curious. You know there's all this talk about what the church is going to look like and who it's going to be in the years to come. One of the truths you'll need to be is curious about what going forward in faithfulness will look like here. There's a tribe in Papua New Guinea who has a saying, "Knowledge is only a rumor until it lives in the muscle." I invite you to get truth and daring into your muscles so that it lives there, breathed on by the Spirit of God. so that you can dare to take care of one another, dare to be curious, dare to be brave, dare to be vulnerable, dare to make your own paths, dare to ground yourselves for the long haul, dare to take big steps, dare to take small steps, dare to fail. And let your knowledge of God's goodness and delight and strength live into your muscle. Let your knowledge of the goodness of this community live into your muscles. Let the knowledge of these two amazing leaders seep in celebration of the fact that God has brought you to this place to make something new in the world. I dare you.